The regulation is relevant for all packaging, whether it's consumer packaging or industrial packaging.
What is the current status quo for Henkel and the whole industry?
It's of course a big change for the consumers, but also for the policymakers.
Isn't it a win-win situation for both sides, for the environment and for the industry?
Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast.
No more packaging filled with more air than product, like bags of chips, and no more tiny ketchup packets in fast food restaurants. These are just two examples of how the new EU packaging and packaging waste regulation aims to significantly reduce waste. This is important and necessary because we are drowning in trash everywhere. Today, I talk to Carsten Bertram in detail about the upcoming new regulation. He knows everything about this topic because it's part of his job. Carsten is Head of Packaging Sustainability at Henkel Consumer Brands. Welcome, Carsten. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Janine, for the invitation.
Carsten, I understand that there are two main goals they want to reach with the new regulation. Is that correct? And what are the goals?
Fact check.
There are two main goals with this regulation. The first one is to reduce the amount of waste we have. And the second, as part of the Green Deal, also to reduce the impact on the climate. And this is coming by several measures, by mandatory design for recycling. All the packages which are entering the market should be designed for recycling. It's coming with a requirement that new packs to be placed on the market need to contain recycled plastic. And there are further requirements like reuse quotas for certain categories like beverages. There are requirements for packaging minimization, which means oversized packaging. You all know, Janine, from e-commerce you get at home. Also, these will be required to be smaller. And also further financing mechanisms so that the waste management, the collection, recycling will be better financed in the future by so-called EPR, Extended Producer Responsibility Fees. So overall, a really exciting program from a consumer point of view, as it will bring needed impacts to reduce impact of packaging waste on the environment.
Mm. And these new rules take effect from 2030 on. So why is it important to discuss them now?
First of all, it's important for the industry. 2030 is not a long time for the industry. So our industry players like Henkel are already preparing since a few years, as this was anticipated to come, but also to develop really sustainable packaging for the consumers. And I think also for the consumers to understand already what's coming ahead, because also packaging sustainability, a lot of things can be done by the industry, but also the consumer plays a key role, for instance, by ensuring that the packaging is put in the right waste bin at the end of a day.
So let's start with reducing waste and getting rid of unnecessary packaging. How will this be achieved? Do you have some examples for us?
To give you an example on reducing waste and get rid of unnecessary packaging, the best example I think you can imagine yourself is your online shopping experience. Also, we have at home, we're sometimes getting an oversized box delivered to our home. In the future, the regulation states that there is a maximum empty space of 50% allowed in these type of shipping boxes, which means in the future, there still will be some air inside which is needed for packing, for protection, but this will need to be below 50%, while today we see boxes which are oversized. So this is just one example. The other example is you go shopping and you see packages which are just half full. In the future, this will not be allowed to be placed on the market. So going forward, all producers, whether it's for food, for toys, for snacks, for non-food products, will need to make the packaging as full as possible. In consequence, that means all the packages are getting smaller. And that means not only the packaging you buy as a consumer, but also the transport packaging, which is usually invisible to the consumers, but it's also reducing a lot of packaging waste.
Okay, so it does not only concern the B2C market, so as well the B2B market. Is that right?
Yes, the regulation is relevant for all packaging, whether it's consumer packaging or industrial packaging, and comes with requirements on packaging minimization. There are a lot of reuse requirements for industrial packaging, where today already reuse is happening, but more needs to be done. And this will impact also transport and logistic packaging.
So let's talk about the second main goal you already mentioned. From 2030 on, all packaging must be 100% recyclable to be authorized. So what is the current status quo for Henkel and the whole industry?
At Henkel, we're reporting already since several years where we stand with our recyclable packaging. We made huge progress over the last year. As of today, Henkel stands at 87% designed for recycled packaging that you can read also in our sustainability report. So there are still some challenges we have to face, but these are sometimes also challenges we have globally. So in Europe, we're already better than what we report because that is a global number. But also for the industry, there are still packages in the supermarket or from products you buy that are not recyclable due to different reasons like technical performance, quality, hygiene requirements, and so on. Specifically, I think on the recyclable packaging, there are some certain sectors in the industry, like the food industry, where shelf life really plays a key role, where there are more packages on the market yet which are not recyclable. Good thing is, that is not a new topic. Henkel has a target to be fully recyclable with the packs until end of next year. And so we have been working on this since quite a while, and also other industry players. So the industry is not starting from far away a distance, but already quite ahead with development. So it's looking very positively that the industry is now able to implement a lot of solutions that have been in the development or have been already placed on the market since a few years.
But what does that mean very concrete? So what are the next steps Henkel or the whole industry have to do?
Very concrete steps are, first of all, now making the investments. Some of the recyclable solutions are maybe more expensive. There are solutions which also require investment. So companies like Henkel have already started investing into monomaterial flexible packaging, like your plastic bags you buy for dishwashing detergents. In the past, these were made out of two different materials, which were not compatible with each other, so they could never be recycled. Already 2 years ago, that product for Zomat has been moved to a full monomaterial polyethylene solution, which can be recycled. But in order to do that, we had to invest into new machinery in our factory, which cost quite an amount of money. And there were several projects that are happening to drive that transformation at Henkel, but also across the entire industry.
Yes, you mentioned the investment, but on the other hand, you can save money because you have to use less materials. So isn't it a win-win situation for both sides, for the environment and for the industry?
Correct. If you look at this holistically, there are parts in the regulation which will lead to short-term investment, first of all, to transform to recyclable packaging. In many cases, new machines are required. Maybe also due to the market situation, prices will be higher for sure for recycled plastic. To increase the amount of recycled plastic, that will cost money for all the companies. But you mentioned correctly, with the packaging minimization requirements, and there's still potential across the entire industry, also at Henkel, to further reduce the packaging sizes where possible, that for sure will help to save costs. So where this will balance out at the end, whether it's neutral or whether it's a saving or cost increase, I think it's too early to say because it depends also a lot on market dynamics. But for sure, especially this packaging minimization, avoid unnecessary packaging. So there's, for instance, a ban of bundling with plastic film for promotional items. That is for sure saving money, for instance. And there are other elements, making packs smaller, that will save also a lot of money on packaging costs or logistics costs. You have less trucks on the road. So that will save money. Whether at the end it will be cost neutral to produce, it's very hard to predict at the moment.
Yeah, I understand that. So which industry will be impacted most by the new regulation?
Oh, that's a great question, Janine. I think, first of all, every industry is impacted. First of all, with regulation, it's a lot of bureaucracy. So I think every company is a challenge to handle needed amount of paperwork and documentation to be done. For sure, there are some industries which are more challenged. Think about the food industry. Packaging plays for food a really crucial role, which is shelf life, food safety. I mean, there are some requirements in where you may question whether the right solutions are available. For sure, another example I think I always like to explain is the luxury business. When we talk about luxury and think about packaging, how this was trained in the packaging universities in the past, you were talking about the unboxing experience. Means you have a small perfume bottle which was packed inside a nice looking carton and that was packed in another bigger one. The entire experience on luxury was, if we're honest, based on enormous amount of packaging material resource used, and design for recycling was never part of it. So especially this industry, I think, will need to reinvent itself, because this type of oversized, massive, what in the past was called luxurious packaging won't be there in the future, as many of these packages will not be recycled in practice. They're completely oversized. There's a lot of air that is being shipped around for nothing. So, and I think especially the luxury industry will really need to reinvent itself.
So let's have a look at the different countries all over Europe. So are there some, they are more impacted by the new regulation than others?
Sure. For instance, you have countries with a very good established waste management, where you have already separate collection of plastics, paper, food waste, organic waste, where you have deposit systems. So for these countries, of course, you have also changes coming from this regulation in terms of reporting requirements and so on. But there the changes are, in terms of infrastructure, not so big. The bigger changes you will see from a consumer point of view, but also bigger changes to be implemented by the governments and by the policymakers, are the markets where recycling infrastructure is not well in place. So you have several markets in Eastern Europe, for instance, where you don't have high recycling rate, where collection is really lacking behind, where maybe even the consumer do not have access to separate the packages into paper, plastics, food waste, trash. So especially for these markets, we'll see bigger changes like deposit return schemes. So you have to take also the consumer on board, and to have this change 6 years for the entire population in some of these countries, it's of course a big change for the consumers, but also for the policymakers to implement it on time until 2030.
So what consequences will Henkel face? What changes will Henkel have to make? It would be great to get some concrete examples for that.
With the packaging waste regulation, we started already, actually before it came out, thinking about what kind of transformations are needed for our packaging to become more circular. And a great example is our Persil bottle. You remember a few years ago, the bottles on shelf for the liquid laundry detergent Persil, they were transparent and you could see the liquid, the green liquid, the blue liquid for the different variants. And at that time, we used a packaging material we were not able to get recycled plastic in. And now we changed, about 2 years ago, the material to high-density polyethylene, and now also incorporating 50% recycled plastic. And now the bottles are white, because for recycled plastic, for this type of material, for polyethylene, you do not find a highly transparent material on the market. It's always whitish available. So therefore, we decided we switched the brand aesthetics. And I'm super proud that we made this bold move and showed that also brands like Henkel and Persil are willing to make bold transitions and change the entire brand aesthetics to, for instance, incorporate a lot of amount of recycled plastic. And we're super happy that we made this move already now, because the regulation anyhow requires that we need to have at least 35% recycled plastic in every packaging we bring onto the market in 2030. We have done it and started already, and I think this Persil example really is showcasing we're committed to make bolder moves on our brands and not say, okay, the marketing aesthetics for the brand need to stay as they are. They need to change, and we've shown and proven it can be done.
Yeah, let's dive a little bit deeper into that topic, because to minimize the packaging means less space for marketing. So did you have a lot of discussions with the marketing department at Henkel?
Of course, the packaging plays an important role to communicate the value of the product. A packaging that is not seen in shelves is a packaging which is likely not bought. So that is always a topic. And of course, we had discussions on this now when the PPWR was drafted. When the first draft was available, this was 2022. But we already started earlier. Henkel, as part of the Consumer Goods Forum, which is a global initiative of all the retailers and brand owners, we already committed before to reduce the size of a packaging, to reduce unnecessary headspace in the packaging. So we started with this journey. But of course, it takes some time to do it, to implement it, to find the right setup for this one, and to combine packaging, which is still attractive to the consumer, but of course, meeting also the requirements of minimization.
Let's have a look in the future. So how will the EU make sure that companies and entire industry will follow the new rules?
What's next?
I think everybody is very curious on this. Looking at the regulatory text, brand owners, but also retailers, and everybody bringing packaging on the market is required to provide conformity assessments. And I think looking at the entire industry that is bringing packages to the market, companies have already strict compliance schemes in place to ensure regulation is properly followed. And you can be sure, in case a brand or a company is not following these new regulations, you will have authorities, but on top, not only authorities, you will have journalists, you will have NGOs really looking out for these companies and clearly say, okay, you guys are not following the regulation. You're having oversized packages to the market. So I think overall through this, I'm quite confident that this will be also properly enforced.
Yeah, hopefully. So now, before we wrap up this episode, let's have a quick look at what changes for consumers across Europe. So we all go to supermarkets, to grocery stores, to drug stores, etc. Looking at the products on the shelves, how will we as consumers notice the new regulation? You had some examples for us. You already mentioned some, but maybe you can give us more.
I think the first change in a lot of markets you will see is the deposit return schemes. So you have to bring your bottles back to the supermarkets. Concept, you know, in Germany or some other markets, that will become the new norm for beverages. You will see more reuse examples, so that you also bring your bottles back and then they are being cleaned afterwards. You will see also more refill stations. Also, what we're anticipating is this extreme customization on shelf, you will see a little bit less. So the packagings are getting, also due to the design for recycling requirements, a bit more standardized. Of course, the printing still can be very much customized, but of course, certain packaging formats you will not see. And I think also the shift is happening gradually. So probably when we are in 2035 and compared to today, you would see a dramatic shift, like the packages are getting smaller. Certain types might not be available anymore on shelf. Like, for instance, if we look now into the supermarket and 15 years ago, plastic cutlery you would find in supermarkets, now you don't find it anymore. So I think it's a step-by-step approach. Consumers will notice it, of course, here and there. But I think the bigger change will be only noticed over a longer time period, because brands like Henkel are already moving today.
And when we look at social media, we will have, hopefully, less unpackaging experiences and videos of that. So thank you very much. This was super informative. Thank you so much for joining us today, Carsten, and making the regulation more tangible for us.
Thank you, Janine. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into Fritz for Future. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as we did, show us some love by leaving a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our channel. You have an innovative sustainability project or an inspiring guest in mind, or perhaps just a burning question you'd like to ask, then send us a message to fritzforfuture@henkel.com. We are looking forward to having you join us for our next episode. I'm Janine, your host, and this is Fritz for Future, Henkel Sustainability Podcast. Take care.
Fritz for Future, Henkel Sustainability Podcast.